Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, Poke Runyon, and tonight we will report on our visit to Austin, Texas's Avalon Lodge and our participation in the recent SOMA, SOMA, that's Society of Magical Arts Magical Converts, there, along with initiations and our Halloween Moat Mass. And then the next week, we were off to visit Atlantis Lodge in Atlanta, Georgia, there to deliver a lecture at the Atlanta Masonic Center and do another Halloween Moat Mass. And this is our Halloween ceremony honoring our ancestors. And also to confer fourth degree Ordo Rosicrucis initiations on our Texas and Georgia Lodge Masters. That's very honored Fraters Heracles in Avalon in Texas, and very honored Frater Osiris and his lady, very honored Soror Isis of Atlantis Lodge in Atlanta. And both Frater Heracles and Frater Osiris will both be our call-in guests tonight. Now, their hospitality in Texas and Georgia was wonderful, and for very honored Soror Zandria and myself, it was more like an extended vacation than a fraternal business trip, although we all worked hard to make all these events successful and rewarding. Members came from all over the United States to help and participate, and we thank you all and consider ourselves honored by your support. It was a magical adventure we will remember always. So if you want to catch up on our nationwide progress, then be sure and tune in, and we'll keep you informed. Now, this was, as I say, a marvelous experience, and we already have someone on. Who am I speaking with?
This is Frater Heracles, Pope.
Oh, hi there, Frater Heracles, and hang on, and let me set the stage here, and I'll get right back to you.
You bet.
The way this played out was that the SOMA conference with magical adepts from all around the country was being held in Austin the weekend before Halloween, and so I was one of the speakers at that conference, and of course we stayed with Frater Heracles and his lady and at their home, and we were able to have a Pastoporus first degree initiation while we were there for several candidates in which we could participate in a small way. And we were able to have our Moat Mass, and we call this thing the Moat Mass. It's sort of a Halloween kind of ceremony, Day of the Dead, where all the celebrants come down around the Henge Widdershins, entering the underworld and the Dark Lord Mote as the wine of remembrance and the cup of souls, which he passes around to each of them and asks them what they say to honor the dead. And then they honor their ancestors or their mentors and whatever, people who passed away. And that's basically the gist of that. And it's a very, for a number of people, it's a very moving ceremony. And also, as I say, we had this Pastor Force initiation, which was really, really beautiful, beautifully done, and we were honored to present the prologue, which is that long poem, The Cult of the Sangreal, which those of you who are in the associate member program know that we have the legenda for the first degree as one of your lessons. So we were able to do that, and then we had some great socializing at the Spider House, which we'll talk about. The Spider House is sort of the esoteric watering hole in Austin. It's kind of like a funky subculture beer garden. And so anyway, Brother Heracles, you want to tell us about the conference and the whole thing from your perspective? And one thing I do want to point out is that you and the other OTA members there in Austin were really, really assisted in putting on the SOMA conference. All of you. Really pitched in and help putting that SOMA conference together and helping it come off. And you want to talk a little bit about that and then the activities I just mentioned?
Yes, sir. We loved having you in Austin, every one of us, and we had such a wonderful time. When you showed up on Thursday on October 23rd, which we went straight to the Spider House and sat down with our own little meet and greet just for OTA members and everybody taking Pastor Forrest or were planning on to showed up and we met close friends of everybody, including, Olin Rush came out with Paxton Knight and all the new members came out and we had a really good time there. It's a neat, funky place that covered in Christmas lights on an outdoor porch, and they have old-timey benches and chairs and out there and some really great beers on tap, which I think we all have a few beers that night, stayed up too late. And then we held another meet and greet for the SOMA conference the next night at the Spider House, and then everyone showed up, and it was really great to meet everybody that showed up for that. We had all kinds of speakers from all over the place. We had Olin Rush, and we had David Shoemaker come out, and Darcy Koontz came out, David Best, and Orion Foxwood, T-Thorn Coyle, Andrea Vitimus came out, which was, it was really neat to meet Andrea because he'd been on the Hermetic Hour previously talking about his book Hands on Chaos Magic, and we all decided to come back to the Austin Temple to do a Pass to Forest, and Andrea came out with us, and And I had talked to him earlier today, see if it was okay, you know, name dropped or whatever. But he was like, he's like, well, can I do the pastor for us? I'm like, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, you know, come on out. And so it was really cool to have Andrea come out and take a pastor for us initiation. He had been interested in AOTA for quite a while. And he also wanted me to remind you, Polk, that he would definitely like to come back on the Hermetic Hour to talk with you guys some more. There was a huge effort by everyone involved with the Soma. You know, all the people in Soma, Paxton Knight, Jeffrey Lee Contreras, Paul Rana, myself, one of our OTA members, Jonathan Caldwell, hosted the space that we did the Soma conference in, and everything, as hard of work it was, came out beautifully. I think everyone had a really good time and went really well. All the lectures were terrific. On my end, I was pretty much really busy setting up the moat mass out in the backyard while most of the lectures were going on. And so we had to set up the banners and the tables and the hinge and the tiki torches and make sure everything was ready, you know. And
we should mention that Michael Beeson and Jennifer Beeson were they were the field and vine for the moat mass.
They did a great job. They came down from Dallas. Michael Beeson and Jen Beeson came down from Dallas with a friend of theirs, and they're starting an OTA hermitage eventually up in the Melissa Dallas area. So they've been coming down regularly, you know, driving 5 hours, you know, one way to come down to participate, and are really excited about the potentials in the OTA, the potentialities in it. It seems to be that we're growing really, really fast right now, and people are getting excited. We had a lady down, Miss Deborah Landau from Pennsylvania, to come.
Yeah, looks like we're going to get something going in Pennsylvania before too
much. Right. Yeah. There's a gentleman named Joshua Narr, several people up there that are working really hard to get set up to start a lodge up there. And so it's getting really exciting. I mean, we've got Jeremy up in Canada, and the collective effort across the board in these past 2 weeks, it wasn't just Austin. Even, you know, we had a wonderful time here. We did, you know, the Pasta Forest was really nice. You know, we stayed up too late and got up too early, and we exhausted ourselves. And then we did it all over again by flying out to Atlanta to be at Michael Downs' lodge in Atlanta, Georgia. And Michael has got a beautiful place, just wonderful people out there. Their hospitality was just phenomenal, and I'll let him describe, you know, his weekend.
Well, yeah,
at his lodge,
when he gets on, he should be calling in a minute or so. And if he he is right. Very honored, Frederick Osiris, is that you? Is that you just calling in? Well, he should be pretty shortly. Okay. Anyway,
well, well, for, for my from my perspective, the Atlanta Lodge is really blossoming. They had people driving in 10 hours to come to participate. Mitch Jones from West Virginia. You had folks from Alabama, I believe, come in. And there was just you did the lecture on the Great Secret at the Atlanta Masonic Center. We did a Cast of Forest the next morning, and then another Moat Mass, and then we did a full-on Invocation of Gabriel the next morning, and then we did a Fourth Degree on Sunday night. So after 2 weeks of
let me mention on that. On that that invocation of Gabriel, that I used a method that you described for establishing the consciousness point the same way we do it with the head, establishing the Saturn consciousness point in the center of the crystal, and then you jump, you make the jump from your third eye right into the crystal, and this was phenomenally good. This is an extrapolation from the Picatrix, from the original Picatrix method of doing that. And I want to thank you for that. That was quite an innovation. I'm gonna frankly do that with all of our crystal Alma Delta type invocations from now on out. I think that's excellent.
Since the crystal ball on the center point of the altar in the center of the temple room is the central point of the invocation itself. I mean, it just made sense to me. It actually kind of happened after a lot of Almadel operations is that I ended up moving my consciousness into the crystal ball and allowing the angel to descend into the crystal ball and merging my consciousness with the angel. And that was how I received a lot of information and energies from from using that technique. And but it's really interesting too, because you have four operators around the crystal ball, so they're each operator is going into the crystal ball and sharing that experience.
We have Frater Osiris, very honored Frater Osiris. After this last weekend, is that you, Worshipful Michael? Worshipful Michael, are you there on the other end of the line? Answer me. Are you there on the other? Are you there in Atlanta? We missed him again. Try calling in again. Try calling in again, Mike. Well, Mike, we didn't get you that time. That method is really, really good. It's similar to what we've been doing with the aethers, projecting into the middle of that big, huge amethyst that we have that we use for the aethers. It's projecting our consciousness inside the ball, and then it's similar to that. And I think it's a beautiful method. So we will actually adopt that and make that standard. If we finally get Frater Osiris to connect here, I think he's been trying to get in, but we lose him each time. What we did, in Atlanta.
Hey, are you there?
There he is.
Mike, are
there
you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, you're
okay, good.
Good.
Well, good evening. How are you? Okay.
Well, I guess we're okay. You've been trying to get in here. We just did a little wrap up on the on the Austin experience, and I was just about to say that you have been the past master of the Georgia Research Lodge, and that you had scheduled me to do the Halloween murder mystery. And so I ended up reading the Great Secret from the Seventh Ray, because it does deal with the mystery of the murder of Hiram Biff.
Yeah, you know, that was a rather bittersweet experience for me on that Halloween. That was my last meeting as the master for 2014 for the Georgia Lodge of Research. And really a phenomenal experience and experiment to take. That's our state research lodge here in Georgia, and really to take it into the 21st century with the website and capturing all the videos. And I'm sure that that's going to be a very popular video on the Georgia Lodge Research website. So listeners will know, if they haven't had a chance to see that, go to http://www.ga, like the state of Georgia, Lodge of Research, all one word, GALodgeofResearch.org, and take a look around, see if you can find the videos of some of our presentations, and that's really looking forward to getting a chance after everything that's been going on to sitting down and editing the video from that and uploading that onto the site. I'm positive that's going to be very popular. So that was our Halloween meeting on Friday, and well attended both within the Freemasons, and a lot of visitors from the magical community, you know, came in to satisfy their curiosity. Hey, what are these Masons up to? And very popular. We even had to add a lot of spice to it, a guest visit from Arturo de Hoyos, the grand archivist and grand historian of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, who was down to do his own lecture and was looking for interesting Masonic activities. I think we found him one. He certainly seemed to enjoy himself as well. That was a lot of fun. And
he told me he thought that the Great Secret was a little too technical for some of them, but you know, actually, if they read it, if they go ahead, and I understand that you're gonna publish the Georgia Research Lodge will publish it in your journal
wait.
Or?
Oh yeah, we put out a hardbound book every year of transactions that represent all the papers that we get. So it's got all the four featured presentations. So you'll be in the 2014 volume, as well as all the papers that Masons throughout the state submit to us for publishing. We do a lot of publishing for the other research lodges in the state and outside the state.
I'm looking forward to
that.
It's
just going to be fantastic. Yeah. And, very well received, and I think everybody really enjoyed it. You could just see it from the pictures that everybody is in rapt attention as you present it. And it was really done very well, Polk, we just pulled up, one of those funky Masonic chairs that look like thrones and set it out on the floor. I mean, most presenters will stand behind a podium and move around and things with their, we've got a lot of electronic gadgets to have, picture support and all this kind of stuff. And I think it was very well done that you sat down like a fireside chat and read your Great Secret lecture from the Seventh Ray, because it really put the emphasis and the focus on the message. And kind of underscored that this is a thoughtful exercise. And I think everyone was just profoundly blown away by what the great secret was. And, of course, anybody
secret.
Who wants to know, they just got to get the green ray, right? So just go out and get the green ray, find out what the great secret was. But that was that was great. And
I'm glad you let it came off that well. As far as doing a lot of graphics and all that, when we did the Soma lecture on Hermetic Yoga, John went and sprung for an opaque projector that was just perfect. And I could put the graphics in. I had Andrea sitting there putting the graphics in there while I was, fumbling around to find which ones to put down. But we did that one. That one was more animated and more with showing the graphics and all. Speaking of that, you with those tiles that you have, I want to say this, that in the yoga book, we have all of the various icons. Those are the pictures, like Tibetan Tantras. We call them icons, which is a Western term. The pictures of the gods of each psychic center, each chakra. But the mandalas are the mystic roses, or in the Book of Revelations, you would call them the seven seals. In the Book of Revelations, because they equate with that, and so what you did when we got to Atlanta, the last right before we were getting ready to drive to the airport, we walked out
but
the door
too late.
And here was this great big box sitting next to the garage door, and you said, oh boy, the tiles have come, and what you had done. If you had had your computerized art version, which is superior to mine, to my raw drawing board art on these things, and you had all of the mandalas or the mystic roses on tile to be laid in the black and white tile in your temple, and so Tibbereth is right under the altar. And this is just amazing. And you have that that's online right now, so people can look at it.
Definitely in the secret group, and I probably will share that out with the Seeds of Astarte group and some of the other places that so they can see that. Clearly, it draws its life from your ingenium poke, from your actual illustrative talents in actually conceiving these roses that, that we know, the traditional psychic center rose system, that we're now bringing to the fore from the Rosicrucian line, we're actually giving it some substance and an ability to work with it. I know it kind of jumps to the end of our stay there. I mean, because they just showed up right after we had just done five phenomenal events. The last thing we were able to do is get all the new members of the ORC, the Rosicrucian Order, that begins in the fourth degree, and do very quick consecration on the tiles before we. Go ahead and lay them down. But maybe a lot of listeners may not be aware, we bring in a lot of traditions in our group and what we do, and one of those decided influences Freemasonry, and like a right and proper Freemasonic lodge should have what's called a blazing star in the middle of the mosaic pavement of the floor, representing the descent of the divine grace, just like we do in the Hermetic Yoga, where we draw down the light, into the midst of the brethren. And of course, in our system, we have seven blazing stars, And I just wanted to have that represented, you know, that here in the microcosm below, there's the seven stars and then the celestial heavens above, because we're going to have a very interesting
ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say something about this. Frater Heracles, when I was in Austin, when just about ready to go, you loaned me a book, or gave it to me, I hope, because I made a lot of notes in it, by the name of Lansdowne, and on the chakra interpretation, yoga interpretation of the Book of Revelation. Now, I have just about finished that book. I've been going through it, making all kinds of notes, and that he's fascinating, but he is confused about exactly what we're talking about. The lightning flash, the lightning flash was something that is. It is mentioned in the Book of Revelation, but I think Jacob Orme made more of it. But the flaming sword is definitely there. Flaming sword comes out of the God man's mouth. Now,
you and I have been going back and forth on this for years. Actually, I'm like, you know, and you know, because I came from a Raja yoga background, you know, and I'm like, well, we gotta, you know, have breath work, we gotta, you know, bring the power up to the head and all that, and you're like, we're bringing power down from absolute. Yeah,
absolutely.
And finally, you know, after I got kicked in the head a few times, it finally dawned on me what you meant by that, and when you brought up the Book of Revelations, that's definitely what they're talking about, is bringing the power down to purify the etheric energies, you know, to rise up towards the light. Am I correct in saying that, or?
Well, actually, you're right. That's what they're saying. Is start at the top. Pricey back in 1910, and then this Lansdowne, which is, you know, primarily based on the Pricey book, The Apocalypse Unsealed.
Right.
And both of them are trying to make it equate with the Hindu system. You know, Woodruff serpent power. They're both trying to do that, and trying to make it analogous. And there are some analogies, but essentially, though, they are what we're doing is we're bringing power down, all the way down, establishing the seals or the mandalas as we go down with the seed letters. And then we're activating what they call the Kundalini, and we call the Red Dragon, and climbing aboard and coming back up. So the purification process is kind of where does Kitchell start his spiral? He starts it in Saturn, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, at the top of the head.
Yeah, he starts right
cycles
inside,
around to its opposite point.
And cycles around, so that's a downward descent. So didn't we talk about Gitchell's dog as well? What?
Didn't we talk about Gitchell's dog was actually, you know, a dragon on the Gitchell drawing?
No. Arturo de Horace mentioned that. He said that the Pennsylvania Rosicrucians had an inferior reproduction of Gitchell's natural man. And that's wonderful that they did, because that confirms mention that this was a Rosicrucian. Well, not just our mention, but Subotendorf and Willy Schroeder and the various people that have underwritten our straight line extension of the middle pillar. But the dog, well, what looks like a dog is actually a dragon. And it is a dragon.
Yeah, that's
what,
amazing.
And that's what we use. Yeah, we use the dragon to go up. Yeah.
Yeah, we use and so did Gitchell. Man, Gitchell talks about riding the dragon. He doesn't like the dragon very much, but he talks about riding it. and so the thing that I'm saying is that the order. And the power comes down from above, and it starts with Saturn, and it goes all the way down to Malkuth, and then it comes back up. Well, that's the ascension. And the ascension follows the lightning flash also. But one thing that I've noticed, and if you happen to have a copy of Pisces 1910 or a reprint of Pisces 1910 and the Apocalypse Unsealed, take a look at the picture on the drawing on page 78, and that is the right street down. The order is exactly with the flaming sword coming out of the mouth, and that is enough to, you know, if we, you know, to make a believer out of anybody. If you look at it, we're certainly going to reproduce that in the book. So because of all of this, I'm adding a chapter to the book. I did not have the book ready. Oh, back from the, you know, I couldn't get it to the printers because I was having Macintosh problems, and the Mac's in the shop right now. So I ran off a flyer, and now I have a chance to put another chapter in the book on this Revelations thing. And I think we need to do that because it definitely works.
Hopefully, we might, if you get a chance to follow
up
on
that. You're too far from the phone. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
All right. Hopefully. Hang on. Let's see if this is any better.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, run it by again what you were trying to say there.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully, then you'll get a chance to also follow up on the door that Artojos opened up on the Pennsylvania Rosicrucians, using the same system from Gitchell, and you know, that was just amazing to see.
Once we publish this and once we get this our system out there, somebody would pop up, a Martinist or somebody would pop up and say, "Oh yeah, we've had that. We've had that for quite a while." I knew that would happen, but the fact that it is the colonial Pennsylvania colonial period Rosicrucians, that makes it even better.
Absolutely.
I mean that's really marvelous.
What I thought was just absolutely just synchronous was, you know, the fact Art being there and knowing all about it and being able to discuss, you know, Kriya Yoga with, an occultist from Austin on one side and from West Virginia on the other. And one of those things to cross off the bucket list. You know, you don't see that very often. And, he obviously enjoyed himself. He came over in the morning. We were able to kind of have a quick follow-up hermetic discussion before we went forward with our own program of the Past the Forest initiations. And that just seems that the whole series of these weekends was all about a synergy, just a collective triumph for everybody in the order, involved in the order. I mean, from from coast to coast, and see everybody coming together. And I just, one of the things I want to do is I want to congratulate all the new Pastafori, and I'll just start with the ones that I can name. I'm sure there's a dozen others from Austin and the Soma event too that should be mentioned. But I want to mention and call out to Sora Hestia, Frauders Muad'Dib, Pollux, Helios, Dustine, Tahuti, Acteon, Seeing the Moon God, and Thoth Hermes. I just want to congratulate you all and for joining this synthesis, and call in and discuss your experiences with us. I mean, because this is just a tremendous notch up, or just ratcheting up of the order here. And
Brother Heracles, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am.
Yeah, you wanna put in your new add our new pastafores in Austin into the congratulating. Because you know we're doing them in Austin and we're doing them in Atlanta and we're really getting a lot of so who can you recall who we gave the green to in Austin?
Oh, you caught me unprepared, guys. I'm sorry. I want to congratulate everybody that showed up. I could name, names. I'm not sure if they want me to name their names, but I do not have the list of all their lodge names with me at the moment. I'd have to dig through a pile of papers.
Oh, yeah, magical names. You got to hear their magical names two or three times before you remember them, I know. And I'll just watch it once a minute. I ask them, and I'll ask them in the middle of the ceremony, what do we call you, you know?
I go, Frotter, what's your name? Come here.
Well, I was around, and you know what I was doing when I was in Atlanta? I was the operator on that Almadel operation. I said the Soror on my right and the Frater on my left, you know, when I was asking him to invoke. So that's one way to get around it.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't remember everybody. I do remember Andrea Vitimus was sitting there, and we have in the past before us, we have them write their magical motto on a piece of paper. I won't say what we do with it, but, Andrea, everybody's gathering around him, in the preparation room, and like, what are you going to use? Are you going to use, some demon or something? And he's like, well, who do you think I am? What kind of person do you think I am? No, I'm going to be Amun-Ra. So I do remember Andrea's magical motto was Frater Amun-Ra. So, but everybody's expecting him to pick like Baphomet or something like that, because he did a Baphomet ritual at Soma, which went really well, I heard. but yeah, it was a. The Pastaforis, I mean, in both Austin and in Georgia, just went absolutely beautifully well. The Moat Masses were just unbelievably awesome. Everybody got something really deeply moving and healing in those ceremonies. And did Michael Johnson do the Moat Mass in California?
Yes, he did the Moat Mass. He and Heaven, Prater Hephaestus, they got together and did the Moat Mass at Mont Sauvat in Pasadena while we were gone. And that came out rather well. Now let me say something about the other star of the Moat Mass. I wanted to have a skull cup that was worthy of this Halloween type ceremony that we have, and I found I found one on a Boxian that was with the model, the type, the same type of skull cup that we used in Beyond Lemuria, where you actually drink, the skull's turned upside down, and you actually drink out of out of the teeth, just pour right straight out of the upper jaw, and so I want to get one like that, and a Baxian in the outfit that imports all these gods and goddess statues from India. They had one that was pewter, and it was an overseas thing. And I tried to get it twice from them, and both times the overseas vendor couldn't ship it. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to make one. So I made one. I put one together using an old silver-plated cranberry dish from my grandmother's collection, and got a skull down at Hollywood Costume that wouldn't accept the cranberry dish. And so we put that together. I remember in order to get the drink out of it, we had to go in Texas. We had to go to Lowe's and get some flashing tape, the kind they use on the air conditioning ducts, and that we put that on his pallet, and then anchored the cranberry dish with it, and it worked out very well. And we had
John the Baptist with us when we went and did the Moat Mass.
we have another call. Oh, Freeman, is that you?
Yes, this is Frauder Office from Birmingham.
Oh, Frauder Office, yeah, right. And welcome aboard.
Michael, thank you. Yeah, Michael asked for some support, so here it is.
Come on in. Make it a party.
Give us your impressions.
Back in midsummer, when Frauder Kothar and I were driving over to Atlanta for the seasonal, talking about this and that, I said something about, you know, I get this feeling right now that the order is about to launch. I feel engines rumbling under me. There's these signs here and there. There's a lot of growth going on, a lot of kind of getting our act together in a way we didn't quite have it before, and just really, you know, starting to really have something going on. And definitely this past, I'm sure both events, but the one, you know, the one at Atlantis Temple, I think is going to be looked back on as when we achieved liftoff on this phase of growth. And it was just
an
amazing experience.
I know Sneakers, the temple cat, will never forget it after being initiated from John the Baptist.
We took John the Baptist down in the temple and filled the cranberry juice in his head up with milk and initiated Sneakers, the cat, the black and white cat who lives in the seems to live in the temple. He was in there when we did a fourth degree initiation, so we figured we'd complete his initiation by letting him drink milk from John the Baptist, from the head of John the Baptist.
Sneakers has done more temple work.
The cat's
going to
be there anyway. She might as well be initiated.
Yeah, that was great. Well, Freeman, I want to praise you a bit on you are a magical scholar that I consider one of our really 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 great assets. Your magical scholarship is, I remember you and I reviewed the Hermetic Link some time back. And thank you so much for your kind words in this. I think we're growing. We're really growing, and people realize. I think people are starting to realize through this experience that magic is fun. Magic is a composite art form. It's like your own little grand opera. It's got everything in it. It's got music, dance, drama, and everything. Magic is fun, and I want to encourage, it's happening, that people in the associate member program get these study groups together. Start networking. We got another call. Who am I speaking with?
This is Michael Weiss, and I figured that I'd call in to sit on the John side.
Wow, my gosh. By God, Michael, this is great. You're great. We mentioned both of you a little while back, and that you and Jen were field and vine for the Moat Mass in Austin. You want to give us your impressions of how things went then?
Well, I think things went really, really well. I think it was my third or fourth Pastor Forrest to kind of help out with. And every time I'm there, I learn a little bit more and I get a little bit more out of it, just participating and helping. And then the Moat Mass was interesting because it was my first time to vine in a really, really public way. So that was a bit terrifying, but it was really exciting as well.
Well, actually, you find out sooner or later, and those of us who have the fourth degree are aware of this, you find out Moat isn't such a bad guy. He's been with us for a long time, and he'll be with us for a lot longer. And so I hope that wasn't frightening.
You may have been saying he was more frightened of the public presentation.
Yeah,
than Moat.
Public was much scarier than Moat. Sorry, Moat doesn't scare me. It's the public.
And although I must say, Magister Fabian is a pretty powerful Moat.
Yes.
This is coming from the guy who did Moat in the previous two seasonals too. So.
But isn't that,
yeah,
Michael? Don't you find that's a magical formula? It's fear and excitement. Yeah, put them together and stuff happens. So, yeah, it's.
Well, I like how Polk walked up and was like, "What say you to honor the dead?" People are like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah, that really blew them away.
Yeah, people loved it. I was talking with Olin Rush today, and I told him like. That you had told me, Michael Beeson, about how terrifying the the experience was to actually get out there in front of, I don't know, we had like 50 or 60 people around the Henge out there doing the Moat Mass, and for the first time, Olin and probably everybody else had no idea how terrifying. Getting in front of all those people and to perform that, was for you guys. They thought you did a really, really good job. And he made an interesting comment saying that, it's kind of an initiation in and of itself is to actually, step out of the comfort zone and get out there to actually, to do the ritual, to do what has to be done, regardless of the inner conflict that you're going on, what's going on inside you. That's something really interesting about the OTA seasonals. It's so participatory. Everybody plays a part. Even the participants who don't have roles play a part. And we really, it pushes people out of their comfort zone. And like Frater Arcyrus just said, the fear and excitement mixed together really makes stuff happen. Definitely.
And
this whole circle experience is something that I think we can credit the original pagan movement with giving us. I recall that Ed Fitch had a friend, a German friend of his, a fellow by the name of Lothar, who wanted to start a Nordic church, Nordic pagan church. And he used to come to seasonal ceremonies all the time, both Ed's and ours. And then finally he got his Nordic church going. And I went to one of his ceremonies. And he was doing it just like a Lutheran church. He had everybody sitting in pews, and he was up there at the pulpit preaching a Nordic sermon. And you know, I tried to tell him afterward. I said, Lothar, we do everything, you know, we do everything in a circle. That's the ancient way of doing it. And we all participate. Everybody has a chance. You know, you shouldn't be up there preaching at people. You should be dancing around a circle with them. You know, this is really is the ancient way to do it. I just really, to tell you the truth, Soror Zandria and I, very honored Soror Zandria and I, we were really, by the way, that's a legacy of the Golden Dawn that's very honored or greatly honored. If you're greatly honored, you're an ex-temple chief, and you're very honored, you're in the active status. I think that's the way it goes, isn't it?
Sounds right to me.
Speaking
of very honored Soror, I do want to shout out, you know, it's very late over here on the East Coast, and, you know, very honored Soror Isis is passed out, and, you know, we'll be probably listening to this tomorrow. But she really made events come off here, and that's no joke. You know, without her artwork and without her active participation, it would be less than half over here. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that we probably can't talk about and can't show that I really want to at least mention, which is, you know, like other traditions, we have a kind of a vault or a special chamber. And I might have put in a little bit on the design, but she executed. Yeah. And, you know, as with everything else, she's our operative tile master, and just did a phenomenal job. And I want to really thank everybody for coming together on the hospitality and just making an absolutely smooth 4 days of events over here. Yeah, we have so many people who come from so far. I think Mitch's drive is probably closer to 14 hours. But also very glad for some of the people that are starting to realize that there's something happening right in their midst. And it's also an adventure for me to go out and find some of them in all the various local communities that are here, because. It's interesting how many hooks the OTA has, have ties with the Masons, with the Pagans, with the Rosicrucians, with the witches. We bring it together.
Yes. And speaking of the Rosicrucians, I'm wading my way through both books, both Freese and Lansdowne's book on Revelations and the chakras. And my, we have one more caller here. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Freighter Apollo.
Hey, Freighter Apollo. Thanks for calling in.
Right. Well, you're kind of tail end Charlie here. You want to give us your impressions right quick?
Well, I had to miss out on the Moot Mass in Atlanta, and so I just wanted to call in and say how regretful I've been, but I've kind of taken an emergency vacation, so that's my excuse.
But this
I'm
is our first time
to
hear from you since your initiation, just at Seven Veils. We actually had two classes back to back, and as far as we're concerned, you're all brand new. You're all spiffy, shiny, brand new, and, you know, welcome to the OTA. You know, tell us about Seven Veils, or any of your impressions so far.
Well, it was one of those encounters. Let me talk about that weekend. I could just feel a lot of energy moving, and later. Later that evening, after the initiation, which we did on a Sunday, Mm-hmm. I just still felt energy like just coursing through me later on that evening. And it was just very, very fantastic. And something was kind of tapping me on the shoulder, and, you know, hey, you had a very spiritual experience today. And it was something that, I've heard another freighter say that he'd say that this wasn't his first rodeo, and I'm kind of the same boat, and but I've never felt that presence, that power during an initiation that I have with this.
So glad to be a channel for that.
Yeah, I feel a regret that I didn't have, you know, I wasn't there for this celebration, because it just sounded phenomenal.
Yeah.
So.
And it was.
You can catch up on it. Have I got a kid out to you yet? Do you have any? Because I was going to say you can catch up on it by reading The Great Secret in the Green Ray.
I think it's on its way. I believe it's on its way. So mm-hmm. I think we caught you just as soon as you'd started to travel. So, I think that mm-hmm. you had a lot to do.
True. And, speaking of that, Fronter Apollo, there's a couple of people on the call. We got a chance to play test, as it were. One of the new rituals, the Rite of the Rosicrucian Spiral, that's going to come out in the Hermetic Yoga book that Polk is finishing up, Magister Thabeon is finishing up as we talk about. That was something that I found was an incredibly powerful experience. I'm just curious, you know, if you guys had any impressions of that. I was surprised. That was Frater Officer, you still online there? On the
By the way, Freeman, Mike, and John. Next week, by this time next week, I will have I will have digested both Lansdowne and Creasy, and let's get together next week on the Hermetic Hour and talk about how the yoga system really works with the Book of Revelations. I think this should be fascinating. And we might
That's awesome, because I've often thought that it's also the seven churches, you know, that they
That's
fit right,
right
yeah,
in there. Seven churches. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay, we got somebody else on the line here. Who else is calling in here?
Greetings.
Who am I talking
to? Frater Helios.
Hey, greetings, Frater Helios.
Oh, Helios.
It's from West Virginia.
Yeah, photographer.
Yep. And our master chef. And we got a half poster.
And not a half light worker.
I got
to
say, man, it was a blast. And I just, you know, in the chat room mentioned that I think several bucket list items were checked off this last weekend, and it was amazing. But you were talking about the Rosicrucian Spiral ritual, mm-hmm. which was really, really amazing. I was enlightened and shocked at how well it kind of all fit together, and definitely noticed a lot of like actual physical effects from what we were working on, and that was, I was very impressed by that ritual. Another interesting moment that happened just this last week, or one of the things that really sticks out to me, and it's not a big thing, but when we were preparing for the Archangel invocation of Gabriel, mm-hmm. and we were in the antechamber, and we're all standing around, and Osiris is doing this great induction, and we're all in our robes, and it's candlelit, and then Sneakers is walking around at our feet, and I'm just like, wow, just the image of what I was seeing is so, it's just great, and my subconscious loved it, and I had a blast. So can't
and
thank
that's
you
the, yeah, and that's the Master Caduceus ritual. I'm glad that we had a chance to do that in its full form, as Polk wrote it in the book, in the paper. And every when you become a member of the order, when you become a pastophorus of the Crata Rapoa Reformata, right? When you join the Church of Hermetic Sciences, that's the big working document that you get, and that just shows how much power it can generate. I think there was 9 that did that particular working, if I was right. But that was just, yeah, my feet felt like they were on fire.
That's funny.
Well,
my feet were also tingling.
Yeah. So next week we're going to take the Book of Revelations apart and see just exactly what we, you know, how it fits with our Hermetic Yoga system, how it fits into it, and I would look over the spiral again, and I know Frederick Cyrus, you probably have a copy of Precy's book around there somewhere, don't you? The Apocalypse Unsealed.
Not yet. I'll have to go get that. Now I have seen studies of the 7 churches in Asia or Asia.
No,
right.
No.
The Kabbalistic world of Asia.
Well, they're on the 7. They're in a Golden Dawn. The Golden Dawn is a scroll. In fact,
there
I think
go,
I
yeah.
did it. I think I gave it to Merrick, but it has a scroll with the candlestick and no, it might not be the candlestick. It's another figure. The 7 churches is a scroll. There's a scroll to that extent. So that mm-hmm. you know that the 7 churches are considered to be connected to the chakras, and that we'll discuss that. We'll get into it next week. We'll lay the whole thing out. So call in next week, and we'll have ourselves a symposium on how Hermetic Yoga fits into the Book of Revelation. And
it's gonna be fantastic.
How's that sound? Okay. So we'll see you same time, same bat channel, and we'll see if we can solve the mystery of the 7 seals. Okay, and until then, thanks everybody for calling in, and thanks everybody for this wonderful, and thank you again, Crater Heracles, and Lady Kathleen, and Frater Osiris. And Lady,
can we say
and
one thing before we go?
What? Yeah, sure.
One thing I want to mention before we go, I'm not sure if I did, is very honored Soror Isis. I want to thank her for doing all the artwork for the vault. And
yeah,
if I mentioned it before,
that,
it just deserves another
but
one.
We,
okay.
I'll thank her too because. You know, the vault was essential for what we did, and she did a great job of putting that together.
Yep.
And besides that, she did. You know, the hospitality for the weekend was just wonderful, and like I said, it was we did a lot of work, but then on the other hand, it was like a vacation, and I can't thank you enough. So everybody involved, thank you, and we'll see you next week. And next week we're into the Book of Revelations. So being good Rosicrucians, we'll get to the root of things. So meanwhile, take care, be well, and good magic.
Good
Revelations.
Magic.
Yep.